Bhutan is doing very well in meeting its own obligations towards the sustainable development goals that were adopted last year, simply because it aligns well with all of the 5-year plan development goals, our own regional aspirations of mitigating poverty and ensuring good equitable development, transparency. So I guess all the basic tenets were already there, and now with the adoption of the global goals has sort of given us more focus in trying to get the job completed, I guess. For us, we're very lucky in Bhutan that we had visionary leaders in Their Majesty the Kings, respective kings who've led the country. In 2008, of course, we introduced the parliamentary democracy format, and this is our second round of elected parliament. But the basic development philosophy didn't change. That's following the Ross National Happiness philosophy of emphasizing individuals' happiness and their right to happiness, I guess, as being more important than just, and well, it's not even more important, it's just that the GDP mode of measurement of progress is incomplete, and GNH at least gives it a little bit more holistic scope of measuring not just the economic well-being, but also your spiritual well-being, your socio-economic growth, your cultural and traditional space, and looking to ensure that you're in balance with the local environment, in harmony with nature. And of course, all this can't happen without having good governance. So we call them our four pillars. For Bhutan, it's such a tiny country with an even smaller population, less than 700,000 people. We can't afford to make terrible mistakes. We are a fully mountain country, and in that, if we do not look after our environment, we are going to be causing a great deal of distress down the, for our future generations. You know what happens if you denude forests, and more so in the mountain areas. There'd be heavy landslides and landslips and soil erosion and what have you. So it's just a very practical approach. I think we would definitely benefit from looking at how other cultures, other communities are managing their own ecosystems. In Bhutan, we're doing it like what we've always done. And we believe that our communities, because of our close association with nature, we feel that we have an upper hand. But that doesn't mean we're not open to improving those systems. If there are more efficient methods of bringing in development without sacrificing our environment or our cultural norms, I think that's something we're open to. And definitely, when you interact with others, you either learn from them or you validate what you're doing. And so that in itself is also a good place to vet what we are doing. And of course, the scientific research and scientific disciplines, I think that's something Bhutan could really benefit from. We're not very good or effective with the actual science behind explaining everything that we do. So maybe the scientific rigor and discipline would be something we could benefit from. In addition, we could also benefit from good documentation. So we're doing so much good work, and the documentation is quite dismal at the moment. Because of course, people tell us that happiness is sort of, it's different for different people. I say, yeah, but that's happiness, the Western, if you look at it from a Western lens. But if you look at it from an Eastern lens, happiness is looking inside, internally, and to see what you lack, what do you have, building on what you have, and then what you lack, is it possible to supplement, complement? it's a lot to do also with mind training and learning to be content and to live in a more generous, giving manner. I mean, I've come across so many. I work with the poor. I work with the rural communities that barely have any material goods. Mm-hmm. And yet I've seen them to be some of the happiest individuals, simply because they live a life of plenty. They do not necessarily have any material wealth, but in their minds, they are the most generous. They will share their last morsel of food with you very, very willingly. And by that same token, I've also interacted with many rich people and very successful industrialists and business people. And they're not necessarily that generous in their attitudes. So I would like to pose this question of, I'm really a bit confused as to who is the richer of the two? Mm-hmm. Someone who has all the material wealth and still lives in poverty because of how they think, or someone who has no material wealth and yet at the same time lives a very generous life, but is willing to share every last thing they have. So it's all about, I guess, a lot to do with attitudes also. Of course, this is not to discount that we do need to have basic level of all your basics taken care of. You need a house, a roof over your head, 3 square meals. You need to be able to be gainfully engaged, that you're productive in life, that you are seen to be contributing towards making other people happy. Your goods and services in any way, form or shape then brings about happiness for others. So in the Buddhist world, these are quite easy to understand and explain. I always find it challenging to try and explain that to the Westerners. My Western friends don't understand me quite as easily or readily. They challenge this concept quite a bit.